Did you guys have as good of a week as I did, or better? Probably wouldn't be a stretch for this week. So anyways, doesn't make it a bad time to live. So I have the honor to talk about missions today, and so this will be a little different for me. Usually I get to come up here and share something that I'm particularly inspired in. And I'm inspired about missions. It's a big part of my history. I've been on trips with quite a few of you guys, especially short-term trips. I met my wife, Kristen, on a relief trip after Hurricane Katrina. And I was a bit of an addict at the time as far as missions is concerned, I should clarify. And we would get out about every like 6 to 8 weeks, and I had a job where I had the freedom, the financial freedom, and the time freedom to be like, you know what, I think I want to go to Mexico, to Guatemala, to a local stateside one about every 6 to 8 weeks. And it was a great life, let me put it that way. I haven't gotten to go out as much as I would like to recently. Family can change how that looks for some people, for others not so much. And so I'm excited to share. We're going to have a conversation today about a number of the missionaries that we sponsor, because in the months to come you'll be hearing a lot more about what they're doing. And I want to say this first about the missionary. A missionary, basically, let's keep it really simple that the obvious thing about the missionaries that we support is that they were given a call and they answered it, or else they wouldn't be where they're at, right? And so they've been building stories, they've been building things in different places in the world, not unlike the callings that you guys have individually and that I have individually. And it's just when we stand up here and it's someone dropped, you know, certain things in their life, certain comforts, and they're in a different country, they're not around their family. Some of these people have been in situations where literally police have stepped in and separated them, and they're not sure if they're going to see their spouse or not ever again. Some of these people have had to really let go of some things. And so I do want to honor them today, and my hope is that it will be just as encouraging to everyone here. And we'll speak to everyone here, however the Holy Spirit wants to speak, whether it's to your own calling, which, again, is no more or less important than theirs, or if it's to look at what is just happening around the world, those stories you don't get to hear all the time. Because a lot of times in our naivety, we're like, you know, we're in our Durango bubble to a certain point. When you hear things happening all around the world, it's very inspiring. I know for me personally, there's a lot of things that I wish we had the time to go into to share today that some of these people have provided story-wise, like living their faith in very extreme ways, seeing amazing things happen. I mean, really, the things that we read about in the New Testament very much still happen everywhere. We get to see some of those, and then we hear stories, too, about where those things are still happening very much in the world. So I hope you guys will be encouraged by that today. That being said, I would like to invite the mission board up, and as they come up, they're going to have a seat right here. You guys can go ahead and come up, and I'm going to just talk about what we established. So these guys are a board. They're not just an advisory team, though they certainly do that. My heart in this was that by setting up a board, we can actually like displace some authority and empower with some authority the people of the church to make decisions on behalf of these missionaries. Each of these people have been intertwined with some of the missionaries that are out there, or they've been on a lot of trips, they've been a part of a lot of things. And so me, I'm pretty much like a pastoral representative on this board. I get to vote, and I have a vote that's equal to all of theirs. And so basically, they get to help make the decisions of what's best, because they're the ones talking to these people all the time. They're the ones that are in consistent communication. And basically, I'm just going to help facilitate that. So continually, the people who are in connection with the missionaries are making the majority of their choices as far as how we support them, is where I'm coming from. So so I'll take a seat, and then we're going to start passing the mic. I'll be excited to introduce these people, and they're going to be talking about the missionaries themselves. So without further ado, Barb, would you like to start us off and introduce yourself? Oops. Let's see.
Hi, least one parent, mostly due to AIDS. And so their mission is to work with the leaders and stakeholders of the, actually the city and the country, and in their communities for the orphan populations, and support education through Christ. When these villages cannot care for the orphans, they try and provide the support for either the families or the whole community by giving food, medications, clothing, those sorts of things. But if they can't give that or there's no one to help those children then come into the home. And right now they've got 13 children ages 4 to 15. I think there's three boys, Jaden? Something like that. Three boys and the rest are girls. Right now their needs, because of COVID, the children haven't been able to go to school. So they're trying to school them at home, and it's actually working out really, really well. The children are doing much better learning at home than they did in the schools. And they have turned the living room of the home into a school. They've put up whiteboards, they've brought in desks, and the kids even wear their uniforms to go downstairs to school, which really helps them feel better. So what they're going to start doing is they're going to build a school. And so they've got teachers that are certified that are coming to the home now, and so they want to build the school, which would be outside of the compound, and would be available not just for our students, but for the whole community. And any student that needs to go to school that can't afford school fees, because you do have to pay school fees no matter where you go to school, these children would be able to go to school at Heart for the Needy. So right now, those are some of the needs they need. They're just trying to get the prayers and the finances together for that school. And then staff housing is the next thing that needs to come. So,
I think, Bailey, was there a picture of the floor plan of that school that you could throw up there? That's what they have kind of starting out there. And
right.
So very exciting work.
And then Laura started actually something this morning. It's called 31 Days Without. And it's going to start May 1st. And she's just asking people to look at what you do every day. Do you get that coffee? Do you get that lunch? Do you get, you know, do you shop on Amazon? Maybe for that one day you don't do that and you donate the money to Heart for the Needy.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Barb. Appreciate it. Our next couple here are, would you like to introduce yourselves real quick?
I'm Margaret Mondragon.
I'm the husband, Gustavo.
The husband. He is the husband.
So,
would you like to tell us what's going on in Japan?
Okay, so I communicate with Susan Mondry. She was, I think she was a church member for probably over 15, 20 years here. She was involved in the youth group and with the children's ministry. And she left September 2, 2016. So she's there, been there almost 5 years. I think the way she got connected, from what I remember, the way she got connected with Japan is she did a YWAM, I'm pretty sure it was a DTS, and that's where her outreach was. So she felt called to return to Japan. And so when she first met, went there, she was partnered with a church called Grace, she is still, Grace International. And what she was doing there is, you know, same thing, being involved with the youth ministry, with kids. And also she would help kids that are in school that had like emotional issues, or even maybe they had a little bit of a handicap, they got made fun of, and so she would help, you know, she would, you know, help them with their school and just help them with their self-esteem and also, you know, of course, Bible studies. Right now she is, she's helping with a church plant, and she preaches twice a month, and she leads a ladies' Bible study, and also she has like three or four kids that they've been going through the Bible. It has been kind of hard with COVID, because even though they didn't go on an official lockdown, the country, It was a voluntary, and since it's just her by herself, it was hard. It was hard. She's a people person, and anybody that knows Susan, she's a people person. So it was very hard for her to be by herself, and she did start doing Zoom meetings for like a women's Bible study. I talked about. Oh, she of course all the missionaries that they have to learn the language, and Japanese is, I think they have like 3 alphabets or 4 alphabets, so it's really hard language to learn. And so she recently passed one of her tests. It's not a basic test, but it's a, you know, where you can carry on a conversation well. And of course with preaching, she needs to, you know, she's gotten a lot of practice. And she wants to, the church plant that she's helping with, the pastors are like in their 70s, and so she wants to get ordained. She's working toward that. It helps the community that they're in to think, okay, well, if something happens to the pastors, there's at least gonna be a pastor to take over. So I think that's really exciting for her to take over, be able to take over that if it's needed, and even just peace of mind for the congregants that they know, well, we're still gonna have somebody to pastor us.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the things that encourages me in that story is just, you can see the sustainability that the Lord builds it within his church. There's constantly training and retraining. You're gonna hear about things of church plants, you're gonna hear about things of small groups. Like, all of these people are doing this on a very practical level.
Yeah.
And it really excites me because it goes to show that like there is vision way past today from what the Lord has in mind for his people.
Yeah. So. And she hasn't come since she left, especially with COVID. If she leaves, it would be hard for her to come back. So we'll see when she can do that.
I would imagine that's hard with family and to not be able to make those choices so easily and readily.
Yeah.
So cool, thank you for that. So. Morris.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Morris Schaefer, and I have the pleasure to introduce to you the GEM Foundation of Kampala, Uganda. It was created 6 years ago by Josh and Emma Quisenberry, mostly from Emma, but Josh was also involved.
And we got to call it like it is.
Courted her and got married, so after it got started, so he's definitely involved. They have 4 children. Some natural, some adopted, so it's a nice blended family. They created a special needs orphanage where the kids there are all special needs kids. They have physical handicaps mostly, so there's a lot of them are in wheelchairs, if not all. Over the years, they've been in business there 6 years ago officially. They've cared for over 77 kids. Started out in a 2-story house, so with wheelchairs, you can imagine how that fun that was. But now they've thrown themselves into a full-time location. They got 88 acres for their village, some in farmland, croplands, to raise crops for their own use and for cash crops. And they also have multiple homes built that are all 100% accessible, so they're all on ground floor, have paved pathways between them, and so the trained staff who lives there with them full time can live with them. They have therapists that come work with them, medical staff, cooks, farmers. They have a huge staff. That one picture showed that. Each of those group homes holds 16 kids, so right now I think they have 3 of the homes occupied. Mm-hmm. Not total capacity. I think they have like 47 kids on hand at the moment, is the last thing I read. But they're also looking forward to the future, because as these kids age out, you know, they age out of the system, so they're considered adults in Kampala, and so they have really nowhere else to go, so they're looking at building a group home for the older kids to create an older kids family. And they also are building a medical clinic, which is in process, so they can care for the medical needs of these kids instead of having to haul them in a van all the way to the hospital every time they have some kind of illness or sickness come up. So that's a couple of the things that are happening with them. They're, you know, they moved into their new facility last summer during COVID, they loaded up buses and moved across across the county, basically, and settled into their new place. Everybody's excited, and it's just wonderful to see how the place has grown with everybody's help that's, you know, donated money and, you know, who's also visited there and loved on the kids. They'd still love to have people come and love on the kids. But it's, if they didn't care for those kids would be considered throwaways on the street. They'd be abandoned. You know, they're considered taboo. So somebody's got to love them, and it's these guys.
Yeah. And they are visionaries. Let me tell you, like, when you see the maps of, like, what they're doing with their property and the farming and, like, how well thought through, and they're not, like, looking at the minimal resources to make these things happen. They're like, hey, what do we do to get solar? What do we do to get the best technologies? What do we do to make this the easiest for people? They are very much visionaries, and they're doing a great job.
And they, the planning for the facility was facilitated by the group Chris Hardrick is associated with, not his office, but the same group. So,
yeah, quite a blessing.
Tied together in a big circle.
Yeah, totally. It's interesting how these piece together for sure. So, now we can have the husband. Mr.
Gustavo Mondragon.
Yeah.
And I'm here to talk about Chris and his wife. The guy who is an engineering, I can talk without the microphone, I guess. So I'm going to give you a little background of this man. This man was here for some years in our church. He's a big guy, taller than him, huge, they call him. And the church that he goes to over there in Cambodia, they call him, oh, you see Goliath, you know? So that's what he shared with us. With Chris, was in the church here. He left 2017, I think the first month. He went 6 months for training in the United States. He sold his house, his all his things, well, some furniture he took with him, and he was in training for 6 months. But he had a great job here in the county, and I'm just gonna tell you guys that these people are sacrificing really the comfort life of the United States. And he's in Cambodia. Why he's a judge over there, because the people over there in Cambodia are shorter than me, most of them.
If you can imagine
that.
And
a half, 5'4" and a quarter when I go my hair up. So, but this man, basically, this man, he right now is in the office that they have in Cambodia. He's the director of the office. And they have 7 projects that they're going to have this year, hospitals, churches, facilities for taking care of kids at daycare centers. So they are excited where they are, and they already fulfilled that term that they're supposed to be there, and they deciding to stay longer. So that is exciting, and I know if you guys know this family, some of you guys, you can see through that, through these years that it happened 4 years ago. You know, through that time, they've been struggling with some things also. The housing that, because the people over there who are in the neighborhoods that they are, sometimes they don't believe in Christ. So they can be targeted. So they expose themselves to a lot of stuff that I think some of us, we won't be willing to, or we don't even know. So Chris, what he does, over there, he's again, he's an engineer. I guess I cannot really explain, but through the months, as you share those videos, they will be able to see what they are really doing over there. They just had a baby. They have 3 kids. Their name, I didn't even look at my notes. I don't say the name right sometimes, so my wife corrects me a lot, and she just said them for me. So they're very excited because they have a little boy, 4 months old. It's very cool. I remember when this couple were praying to have kids, and they were struggling to get pregnant. And it's just a blessing to see what they're doing over there for the people. They have Bible studies in their home. They open their home for people who come and stay with them. They have internship people there. He's active in the church where he goes to. Anyways, I'm excited about what they do and over there. And they come. They don't come often. They were here a year and a half ago or so. I think they came and make tortillas in our house and tell us how to make tortillas to the Mexican people. Imagine, man, that wasn't good.
I didn't see that coming.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's it.
Awesome. Yeah, I have to say something I love about the Hardricks is when Chris was here last, I went and I sat down with him for lunch, and I think this is true. This was definitely true of him, but I would say this is true of just anybody that I've seen that really has jumped into their calling. Actually, like Jasper Welch did this with me a couple weeks ago. I know Joe Lloyd has spoken into my life like this, but when someone steps into the convictions and owns up to a calling and seeing that like a job is more than a job, that even to go overseas and to do the work they're doing, there's still the piece where it's like you do church in your house, you do this, you do that. Why? Because there's almost like a hardening off to say, in a good way, to say, you know what, like in stature, we have raised our level of conviction so that we inspire those around us consistently. And I saw this very much from Chris when we sat down for lunch, and he's being very straightforward with me. And just saying, Nick, you have to, like, there are some things you have to let go. There are some things you have to walk in. The conviction is something that is you're meant to have, you're meant to wrestle with and to move forward in. And he's one of the people in my story that certainly encouraged me in that. So I'm going to continue on. I actually get to share about a couple of them today, too. So I'll share about prayer and Crystal, and I'm not even going to try to say their last name as many times as I've heard it, but they are from, they're representing India, and Prayer and Crystal, normally, there's one person that's on our board that is unfortunately not present today, and that's Miss Debbie Marty. She's an incredible servant, but she was unable to be here today, and she keeps in touch with Prayer and Crystal, and they have five children, and they are outstanding people. What they do is they operate Sanctuary Home, which is basically like a group home for kids, but they have a lot of kids in a lot of ages. They help, and they help the young people transition into careers. They do insane amounts of work of keeping kids out of trafficking and giving them proper educations, building their faith. They raise their faith on a very strong level, I will say that. And it's the work that they've done is very effective. They teach work ethic, besides just the normal pieces of school and whatnot. They have a big farm, and they grow bananas and mangoes and pretty much everything you could dream of that you absolutely cannot grow here. And so, and the kids are all involved in that. In fact, they give the kids these little garden plots, and they're 100% responsible for choosing what it is and if it survives or not, let alone if it thrives or not. And so, it's been really good. These people... this family is extremely invested in the community. I really won't even have the time to go into it, but they're invested not just in the ways of like what they're doing with these kids, but I mean, even with coronavirus, they would set out a, when COVID hit, there's been insane economic hardship in India as a result. That's one major way in which it hit. And Prayer would go out there with, you know, of course they're looking for resources for themselves, but he would go out there every Sunday, and they would have a line of widows that stretched like literally farther than they could see. They would come and receive food from him, and he'd give them a bag of food every single Sunday, and that was just something that they went and did. And so they're involved in multiple levels, which you're probably hearing about a lot of these missionaries. It's not just that they have their one little spot that they're a part of, like. These people are involved in many places in society. Again, they're led by conviction, not just a specific piece. It's like, no, their heart's going to come out in a lot of ways. This is definitely true of Prayer and Crystal. They're in the process of building a new facility for themselves, as far as the for the kids and whatnot, which is kind of an off and on process. They've hit political issues. They've hit economic issues. Like building materials are up 47% there, which... I don't know if any of you guys have seen lumber lately, but it's similar things are happening around the world. And so some of these kinds of things are making it really stop and go. But they want to be wise. They want to be good stewards with it. They're doing incredible things in the kids' lives. So a school will be built when a school will be built, right? So good things are happening there. I definitely want to honor them in the sense of they have been invested in so many things. Like what we commonly share is only just like a fraction of what these people are doing. Like Laura, the same way. Several of these others. Involved at things that, like, having conversations with people that they're no doubt community leaders. And I say that because I think it's important to point this out, like I spoke about in the very beginning, where every person's calling is so important. There's not one greater than another, though some may have a more of an anointing poured out than others. It is so important. There's city leaders now that are doing things that are a lot of the same kinds of things as what these people are called to do overseas. It's showing up in one nation, it's showing up in another. And God is very intentional about what he's doing right now. So hear that for yourselves, hear that with these people, because they have answered the call very clearly. So, all right, Keith or Barbara, would you like to tell us about Carmen and what she's doing in Mexico?
So Carmen is Gustavo's and Margaret's daughter, and she is in YWAM. She's been there almost 7 years. Right now she's teaching a chronological school of Bible studies, which is abbreviated CSBC, at the YWAM base in Tijuana. They just started the 6th month of 9 months, so she's almost finished with that. She's doing really well. She loves it there, and she's beautiful, as you can see from her picture. She's moved into a house closer to the base, which has been really good for her. She's been busy moving and teaching and running the course and caring for the students and staff there. I believe after she teaches, then they go out into the community and give back and continue that teaching, and so it goes on and on and on. She's asking for prayers for finances for the students taking the courses that she's teaching, and wisdom for herself and her co-leaders as they finish the school and prepare for the next one that starts in September. So between the 9 month classes that she's teaching, then she's got to prepare for the next ones that start in September, and I can't imagine doing that. She's asking for more revelations and ministry opportunities. She said COVID has made it so that they really can't go out into the community anymore and minister like they used to. So that's been really hard. And she's asking for prayers that maybe that will change. So maybe Margaret can give us a little bit more on Carmen.
Well, she will be here in July. She usually has that time to have like a break. I was going to say something and it slipped my mind. let me think. I don't know if anybody knew Carmen before she left. She's now more like dad as far as, you know, very talkative. but she was very, she's our youngest, so she was just very quiet and very deep. And now you get her and she could, you know, you give her, I mean, it's really interesting. Even with all our missionaries, we tell them, you know, give us a 3-minute video. It is so hard. And I was amazed. She was like, how can we do 3 minutes? Because there's just like so much to say, so much to share. That it's really hard, you know, to cut it down with all of our missionaries. The cool thing with all of our missionaries is they're from here. You know, Carmen was in the nursery, you know, and a lot of people. Crystal, I think, was here in youth group. So there are people that we send out, and you see the growth when they come back. For us, it was amazing when, you know, she was up on stage talking, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, I don't know, I've even talking to her on the phone, I mean, usually it's just me listening because of the things that she's excited about. The people, basically, I think the main thing that she's excited about is she's teaching people to love the Word of God. You know, I mean, the Bible says, thy word I have hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. And so that's her love, to teach people to love God's word, which is, I mean, what better foundation, you know, to help us throughout our days. You have some.
Well, what I wanted to also tell you guys is about Chris is that, I didn't share this, is that what they do is an engineering ministries international. And what they do, they go and scope out the land for the people and then build accordingly with a good foundation, good materials, but not as fancy as, let's say, a hospital. It's more of a building that is going to be able to, the people to take care of it. That it's not so expensive to take care of, but the foundation, what they do is great. In the future, you guys will see videos of what they do there. Anyways, my daughter is awesome. Now she speaks a lot of Spanish. She wants to teach me Spanish now, which I'm from Mexico, and I don't like that, you know. But anyways.
These are the things that just happen when people get set, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's pass it down. Morris is going to tell us a little bit about Nate and Aaron Herbst. They're doing some great work. So.
Okay, I want to introduce Nate and Aaron Herbst. Attended church here for several years. Nate had a ministry up at the college. Aaron's family is from here. They live in Albuquerque, New Mexico with their three kids, and they're founders of the Great Commission Alliance. And what it is, it's the Great Commission Alliance is committed to multiplying Christ-like multipliers by training, consulting, and creating tools to equip the believers for effective ministry. And in doing that, what they do is they'll go out and do outreaches. They'll travel. Their team is large. They have quite a few members on their team. They'll travel around the world, and they'll teach people in the native countries. They call it exponential harvest training. It's a global training. They teach how to evangelize, and then they'll go out and put it to use. And so they've been effective at that. It's basically teach them and then, you know, show them, teach them, and then go experience it with them. And they don't just leave them there with that. They have continuous trainings going on. They'll continue to train them in how to disciple those new believers. And the people going out doing the outreach are new believers as well, so they need to learn what Christianity is all about and how to have an effective relationship with the Heavenly Father. But they also have created a lot of tools because part of their team is great in graphics design, writing skills. It's not just ministry teaching. But they've created a lot of tools on apologetics. They've created a book called Best Facts. It's real tools believers can use to defend their faith. So we don't have to fall under the evolution is fact lie. That's one of the most profound untruths out there. So they've created books and trainings. Nate has also been involved, and he's preached at the Night Vision Music Outreach. He's done that several years in a row, where they have basically an evangelism time at a great music concert, rock concert, Christian rock concert, and I've had tremendous results from that. They create on YouTube, they've got Daily Bible Bites. It's just a video devotional. And then they've created Great Commission Academy training where this year with COVID, they've done online training. So big giant Zoom call you log into and you can get in-depth training instead of them traveling to some of these countries, they've done it. So they've had video training from people from around the world. And it's amazing how they can do that. And then a couple of the publications that they've created are, you know, like these. There's this one's Everyday Impacts. It's a devotional on how to evangelize. And this is the Best Facts book. Great, simple, easy to follow. They're available from their website. Amazon carries them for them. And then he also has a how to share your faith in a real simple kind of a graphic novel type of format. I couldn't find my copy this morning, so I didn't bring it with me, but it looked really cool.
It's still cool, Morris.
But they, you know, their team produces all these materials, and then they show people how to use it and take them out and put it to use. And it's like, and then he also probably preaches some with the Hoffmantown Church in Albuquerque that they attend, but that's their home base at the moment.
Yeah.
And just love to hear the excitement in all the newsletters he sends us.
Totally, yeah, totally. I was just going to say, the resources he's talking about, I've looked into some of these myself. They're super, super practical. Like some of the apologetics pieces, it'll go into, you know, very brief so that you're not getting totally glazed over, like the Best Facts book. Go into very brief, you know, basic principles of apologetics, and not just why it matters and how you share your faith with others, but actually in your own believing and in your own sense of like, hey, if you're dealing with doubt with this or that, like, then consider this, consider these kinds of things. Consider just like the ridiculous improbability of how wonderful creation is. And so those kinds of things, it hits one after another. He very much speaks not just to like how we expand and share faith, but honestly how we own it. So, did you have something you wanted to share there, Morris?
Just in this book on the Best Facts, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of facts in here, but then it's also he has learned this, and it's like practical, and it's here, put these little acronyms together. So he's got Best Facts, Tall Tales, you know, and then something goes with each letter, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it easier for you to remember when you're defending your faith with your coworkers or coffee club or whatever you're, wherever you're at.
Yeah. Yeah, these guys are global trainers.
Very practical.
Yeah, these guys are global trainers, and they know what they're doing. They get invited all over the place, not just in the States, but in other places as well. And they're throwing these like seminars, conventions, all that stuff in other countries, really to equip the people to minister themselves, because I mean, they're not there to be like the showboat. They are there to equip the people so that the gospel keeps moving forward. Again, the intentionality of God in what he's doing around the world. So, I'm going to jump in and share just on the last one that we currently support on a monthly basis. Also, has a sense of global trainers, and this is Jakin and Sarah Pendleton, and they're a part of YWAM. They have previously been the base leaders in YWAM Redding, California. There's been a change now where they have merged YWAM Redding into YWAM Denver. And so now Jakin and Sarah have taken over at the base in Denver, Colorado, which is actually where they were on their original DTS when they first started going to Afghanistan and whatnot. That's a part of their history. And so they're taking 40 staff members and transitioning 40 staff members from Redding, California, and tying them in with what's happening in Denver. So very big work. These guys are big thinkers. They're not just big thinkers as far as how you move the gospel. They think in business terms. They think in practicality terms. Sarah, she has a therapeutic riding and training kind of scenario. She loves horses. That's part of her history. Even when they talked about the transition, they're like, here's the technicalities of it. We're moving this, and this entity, like five different businesses that come along with the ministry that they're coming at, just because these are some of the ways in which they support the work that they're doing. Again, this is really the nature of an apostle, is using a lot of the factors that are at their fingertips to make sure that cultural change for the sake of the gospel is happening. So these guys they're doing that. They are very called to the Muslim population, and they even had kind of hit a wall in California where they were finding that Redding was not a super practical place to minister to a Muslim population, because they don't just take that calling seriously as far as where they travel. They take it seriously as far as where they're at. And Colorado actually has a population of about 70,000 plus Muslim population that is growing. And so they're like, hey, this is a good place for us to be. And so that's where, to them, a lot of this has really come full circle and felt very right. They have six children. They lead trips to different Arab countries. And they do a number of different things. I'm not going to go into all the different things that they do. And it depends on if they're bringing a couple people or if they're bringing 40 people as to what they do. But they do love to travel and get people out, even though that will be a major focus in what the Denver YWAM base does now as far as Arab-speaking countries. It's going to be a... they will also be facilitating missions to other places around the world as God opens up specific doors, but there's no question that that's their niche. So anyways, they are incredible people. They have a huge heart. The first thing that they're doing in settling in is opening up a ton of prayer and worship services just in building up the people themselves. That's as far as their leadership is concerned. They're like, hey, we're going to get all of our team on the same page as far as our heart for God first, and then we'll move out from there. And so that's the biggest part of their transition that's beginning in June this year. They're already up in Denver now, and they're waiting for their staff to come here shortly, and they'll be building. So anyways, great people. They've spoken a ton into my life, no question, been insanely prophetically accurate. Whenever Jakin comes and speaks here, both him and Sarah love to pray for people afterwards, and I would encourage you that the next time they do, don't, this is my rule, I don't leave unless they've prayed over me, because you never know when you get a word or something inspired. And this is their strong suit. They're really good with people. They're really good with hearing what the Lord says in the immediate context, which is the nature of all of these missionaries, is that they said yes day after day after day. And I'm sure there were some no's in there, just like all the rest of us. But the consistency of their yes is actually why we're talking about them today. So those are the 8 missionaries that we're sponsoring on a monthly basis. I'm going to take just a few minutes before we close up and talk about, like, we put some things out like angel trees in December, where we'll raise to help with Christmas or to help with certain things that are going on at the end of the year, or certain, really just to boost these missionaries. We're here for the support of our family that's doing good work overseas, just like our family's doing good work right here. And so angel trees is one thing. And Morris, since you've got the mic, that's a great place. Would you like to talk a little bit about Romania and what happens there?
Certainly. With angel tree, we support Vesebun Romania, which is Good News Romania. Claudine Leandru Dascal and their son Paul founded this ministry quite a few years ago to assist orphan children learn life skills and develop a relationship with their Heavenly Father. They have a ministry center in the city of Târgu Mureș, which is a decent-sized city in the middle of the country, and they teach life skills and spiritual training there. They help young families with assistance, like very young couples that are just like out of the system, tutoring and scholarship. They do summer camps. And then the part that we got involved in, my wife and I mostly, was for Christmas parties and gifts, where we'd go and just have great celebrations with the kids. And that's mostly what the Angel Tree Funds support. It does get spread a little bit into some of the other things like the Ministry Center trainings and stuff. And then they also go out to disadvantaged villages. They've expanded their ministry from just orphans to the disadvantaged villages, which the technical term is they're Roma villages, just call them gypsies because that's what they call them, and that puts a picture to it. They're very disadvantaged, very run down, very poor, and very low opportunities for most of those people. But there they work with after school programs to keep the kids in school, to get them education, encourage them to get educated so that they have an opportunity to do something with themselves. And then also they've started teaching adults, mostly like the mothers, teaching them how to read and write. Because some of those women have huge families, but they can't read and write a word of their own language. And then also they also do teacher support in the villages, just to encourage the teachers that work with the kids daily. You know, train them up to be positive influences in these kids' lives. And we've seen that amongst the teachers and the staff there. And it's like, it's great and heartening to see how they support the kids as well, you know, along with our friends that meet there daily or once a week with each of the villages.
Yeah.
And that's what the Angel Tree Funds do with Romania.
Yeah, and really, the Angel Tree Funds do a lot of the same kind of work also in Mozambique and India, in Palomas, a lot of those
same
kinds
kind
of things.
Yes.
Yeah. So
also for Romania, I want to wish everybody a happy Orthodox Easter today. They celebrate a slightly different week than we do.
Totally. Would you guys please give these people a hand? And I'm going to release them to their seats. As they're stepping out to take their seats, I'll invite the worship team to come up. And some of the things that we have coming up, there are some trips, like there's a Palomas trip that's coming up in May. Keep an eye out for some of these things that are going on. Trips are still super limited right now because of coronavirus and transition and all that, but keep an eye out for those things. Also, I want to say this, that if these people have a heart for missions, that's where the board has come from, to empower the people who are really passionate about this stuff to help make some of these decisions and how we support them. If you have any interest in being a part of something like that, please come and talk to me or to one of these individuals. We do have a few things that we want to make sure that we're that people who are coming on board have a certain involvement in missions or doing certain things, because we do want to give authority to the people. But come talk to us. This is a number of people who have answered a call, and they're seeing the stories that we read about. They're experiencing it. You guys get to see that too. Some of these are things that really, I wish, again, we could just go crazy with stories. There'll be other times, I'm sure. You'll see some highlights of videos, some more details about what they're doing in months to come. But please pray for these people. They have extremely real challenges, just like you and I. They have awesome things that are happening. They have big projects. They are great visionaries. And pray that the Holy Spirit would keep that moving in their lives, would just keep them focused, would help them to hear clearly when they need their wits to make those decisions in faith. And so I'm going to pray and for them. And if you guys would just be in agreement and say, Lord, we love these people. We're so grateful that they're a part of our family, and that they have been in this church. Not only have they spoken and served us and encouraged us, we have reciprocated that. Lord, let their work be fruitful, increase the prosperity within their own family, the things that are happening with their children, the things that are happening in their hearts. Let them be blessed, Lord. And we agree with this together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey guys, well that's it. Thank you for being a part of the River Church today and being a part of our TRC online service. Looking forward to next week as well. Once again, that's going to be an ordination service for Jill and for Andy, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I want to invite you to come to that service at 9 a.m. If you can't miss it, if you can't be here though, we will be streaming it, as always, 9 a.m. So we look forward to seeing you back here next week. Now, if you have any prayer requests today, I just want to encourage you to post them in our comment box below. And if today you are wanting to just find out more about this amazing life with Jesus and how we can serve him and just be a part of reaching out to the world through our missionaries, I just want to invite you also to comment below. All right, you guys. Well, thanks so much for being a part of TRC Online. We look forward to seeing you next week. Take care.